greetings to each of you in Jesus' name. Just thinking in Sunday school there, we're talking about miracles happening today yet. And I was thinking last Sunday, or beginning of the week, my list of things to do this week seemed pretty long. And I wasn't sure how everything was going to work out or how I was going to get everything done. I knew that if there was too many things pressing, that my mind doesn't concentrate that well anyway. But by Friday evening, I quit work a little early and started studying for today. And yesterday, I don't know if the things that, if it'll hit me this afternoon, what all needs done next week, but it just felt like there was nothing pressing that needed to be done. Thank you for your prayers, that load wasn't there, and thank God for that. Easter was last Sunday, and now Easter is over, and we continue on with our lives, right? And I was reading some articles, said that's how we typically approach holidays and big events. We get done with one, and then we look for the next one, and we start planning and organizing things for that. But I want to look at some of what the disciples went through after the resurrection, after, you know, the next week and that kind of thing. If you want a title for this morning, I have Doubting Thomas or Doubting Peter. I picked on Peter, I guess, because his name is a prominent one, and we think of the disciples, but we want to look at all the different people's responses to that when Jesus appeared. As we think of the last week, a couple of the things that I have here this morning were different comments that I've made in the last couple of weeks. One of the things was the disciples, their high point was the triumphant entry. They thought, you know, it was finally coming. What they thought of the Messiah was finally coming to life for them. And then the next week turned out to be a very discouraging time for them. Jesus died, was crucified, died, and all that happened. And so they're just like in a state of confusion almost, or dazed at what is going on. They're not sure what's supposed to happen next, it seems like. Just a couple questions for the children on Easter and what happened around there. The first one's pretty easy. Who rolled the stone away from the tomb? Dean? The angels? Yep. How were Jesus' grave clothes arranged? Were they in a pile? Were they folded and in one place, or folded and in two places? Anyone know? Thank you, Marianne. Okay, thank you. And when the two disciples went running to the sepulcher, which one got there first? Do you remember that little detail? John? Yep. Interesting thing that happened was all these stories we're familiar with, but the road to Emmaus, I looked up approximately how far that was. Said about 7.5 miles. I'm not sure how far is your house from here, Eddie?
6 and a quarter.
6 and a quarter, okay. I know you and Dean have walked that before. Seems like a pretty long walk, doesn't it, Dean? looking up, it said approximately 2 to 3 hours to walk it. And it doesn't seem like the disciples were in a big hurry when they were walking back to Emmaus. And then when they turned around to head back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples that Jesus appeared, it seems like maybe they were nearly in a run for that trip. So that one probably took much less time than the first one did. And then the last question, which disciple doubted Jesus' resurrection? Judas? Okay, he betrayed Jesus. Good try. Which disciple doubted Jesus' resurrection? Dean? Thomas? He was one of them. This time we'll read John 20, verses 18 to 31. And there's quite a bit of variation in the details that are in the four Gospels. Sometimes it's a little hard to figure out which scenario they're talking about because some of them only mention it one time. Let's read John chapter 20, verse 18 to 31. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto them, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, when the disciples were within, and Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and saith unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. In the first verse there, we see that Mary came and told the rest of the disciples what she saw in Luke 24, verses 10 through 12. It says, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then rose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So here we see that when Mary told the other disciples what had happened, the experience that she had had and seen, they didn't really believe her. And even after Peter saw the tomb was empty and saw the clothes there arranged, it still doesn't seem like he really grasped what was going on. And then in verse 20 of John, it says that when Jesus came into the midst and he showed him his hands, showed him all that, that the disciples were glad and when they saw the Lord. It was the end of the verse there. So when they, after Jesus appeared to them, they believed as well. But we see that Thomas, for some reason, wasn't with them when the first time that Jesus appeared. And I don't know that sometimes details like this, we're not sure why are left out, but we don't know, was he sick? Was he scared? Was he unhappy and confused and just withdrew from the others? But no matter what his reason was, he missed a great blessing by not being there with the others when Jesus showed up there. And I was thinking about that, you know, different personalities, different people respond to hard times and to trouble in different ways, but sometimes we tend to withdraw from the very things that can help us. By being there with the other disciples could have encouraged him and helped him along. And then in verse 25, we see that we're not sure when this verse, what the timeline was. Was it later that day or whenever the other disciples came to him? It seems like they were fairly excited, telling him, that they saw the Lord, and they listed the things that that the reasons why they are convinced that it was Jesus. And yet Thomas declares to them that unless, in verse, I'll just read it. It says, but he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his sides, I will not believe. So he was still, even though he had been seen by several people, he still wasn't willing to believe, and he was very vocal about it. And gave that list. And later we see that Jesus hit each one of those things that he mentioned. And I don't know that it's necessarily a good idea for us to demand that kind of affirmation from God, but we see that God or Jesus gave that to him this time. But thinking about the interaction of Thomas and the other disciples there, when Thomas said he would have to see himself, he denied evidence and discredited witnesses, that it wasn't just some stranger that he met. These were the other guys that he had walked beside Jesus with. And they were, this happened very shortly after they had seen Jesus too. And it could have, we don't read that it did, but it could have, it brought just a little bit of discouragement. They had just went through all this hard times, and now Thomas isn't on board with it yet, and he was one of the 12 as well. They had just lost Judas, so it could have been a time of discouragement. Little article I read from the one commentary said, as one coward makes many, so does one believer, one skeptic, making his brother's heart to faint like his. Had he only thought this in his heart and laid his hand on his mouth to suppress it, his error had remained within himself. But proclaiming it, and that so loudly, might have had ill consequences to the rest, who were yet weak and wavering. As he was so vehement about it, it could have brought discouragement to the rest as well. But we see whatever happened in that, it almost seems like Thomas caught a little bit, because the next time that Jesus appeared, he was with the disciples. He was there. And he may have had, we don't, this kind of thinking through, you know, he knew the others had seen him, and we don't know if Jesus, some people think that Jesus had promised to meet them again at a certain time. We don't know that for sure, but either way, he was with the disciples in verse 26. After 8 days, when the disciples were within, and Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. And then Jesus proceeds to meet each of the qualifications that Thomas said he would need in order to believe. And Jesus wasn't there in body to hear the things that Thomas had said he would need. That just seems like a neat little detail that, even though, I mean, we know that Jesus knew all things, and that was one of the confirmations that he gave to Thomas as well. And then on down in verse 29 through 31, Jesus tells Thomas that, you know, because you have seen, you have believed. But in the last part it says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And then verse 30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So we see the purpose of the details that we have is first of all that we might believe. And I enjoy details, and that's one thing I've often wondered, why some of the details that would settle our curiosity weren't put in there. But as we look at the details that are here, they're written so that we might believe. So there's sufficient evidence to believe, and we are without excuse for not believing. And yet, as we see the disciples didn't all right away have a strong faith. It developed, and as their desire was there. And as we think of the details that were missing, as I was, I don't know, probably 14, 15, growing up, I always thought that, you know, if I could have just lived back when Jesus was on the earth, I could have, I don't remember, I think I had a question or two that I thought would have been really nice to ask Jesus. I don't remember what they were for sure, but I just thought, you know, if I could ask Jesus those couple questions, then I would take care of all the questions and the doubts and that kind of thing that I had. But it doesn't seem like the disciples, I don't know if they didn't ask those questions to Jesus or what, but they were in the middle of this, and I think sometimes now looking at it, I think we actually probably live in a easier time to believe, because we can read the whole story at once. We're not in the middle of it. And sometimes when we're going through hard times, they just needed to believe and to trust God, and that's what we need to do going through hard times, and trust God to work out His will. And a quote that I read was, "We have sufficient evidence to convince those that are willing to be taught and to condemn those that are determined to stay in their unbelief. More evidence would only satisfy our curiosity and not aid us in believing." And I think that's a pretty true statement. I had to think of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man wanted somebody to go back from the dead to tell his brothers, because he said, if somebody would come back from the dead and tell my brothers that, you know, hell is a real place, they would change their lives. And he was told that they have the law and the prophets, and if they don't regard that, then they wouldn't regard somebody that came back from the dead. And we have a lot more than the law and the prophets. We have the New Testament and the story of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so I think we have even more, and have even less of a reason. So as we look at the disciples' struggle to believe, and as we sometimes experience struggles or hard times and have trouble really believing God's promises sometimes, as we continue to follow God and to read His word, and to, like Thomas, even though he didn't fully believe, he was there with the apostles, and then Jesus was there, and he saw the evidence that he needed. And they responded in faith, as they responded in faith, and Jesus gave them His final commandment. Jamie read this morning the, I'm going to read from Matthew 28, but the Great Commission. as they responded in faith to Jesus and then carried out his last commandment. That commandment is still ours today. One thing I forgot to mention was, I don't know if Thomas necessarily knew that he would have another opportunity to see Jesus or not, but he did, and he believed. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." And I was just thought, you know, as the disciples went out from there, they started in Jerusalem and spread the word. And, you know, as we don't all live in Upper Strasbourg. I mean, as we all go home and as we live out our faith from day to day, you know, Gary starts in Hagerstown and Arlen starts in Orrstown, and, you know, we all start where we live and we share the gospel and the good news to the people we come in contact with every day. So with that, let's kneel for a word of prayer.